Hi, friends. When I was just kind of getting started in podcasting, I had that bucket list of people I wanted to have on the show. And after watching and being a fan of America's Got Talent for quite a few years, I was so moved by Christina Wells' story. And I just thought, you know what? What the heck? I'm going to send her a message on Instagram. And she wrote back. And we connected in such a deep way during that episode that I wanted to re-air it because it was so long ago. She was episode 36. And I do have to say, unfortunately, the audio quality is not the best at all. It's not what you hear now. I was so nervous and excited to have her on the show that I went into the closet to record with her, which actually was I just didn't know that that was a bad thing for me to do. And it created a lot of echoey. So Christina, we just need to have you back on the show for another conversation. So while the audio quality isn't the best, the content and the conversation has stayed with me forever, and I feel this connection with Christina. So as Chris and I were talking about what can we do on the podcast to continue to amplify Black voices, we thought of the people who have been on our show when it was just starting out, and we wanted to share some of those episodes, and one of the first people that came to mind was Miss Christina Wells. So thank you, Christina, for your continued support of the podcast and for all that you do and the music that you put out into the world that touches us all. So with that, let's hear directly from Christina now, currently, and then we'll air the episode. And again, please forgive the audio quality and be sure to follow Christina Wells everywhere. Take care, friends.
Hey, Jen, it's your girl, Christina Wells from America's Got Talent. The first time you reached out to me and wanted to interview me, we really just had such a connection talking about what it feels like to be marginalized or being plus-size women when we had our babies or even when we were raising our children or during our pregnancy. And now that you're re-airing stories of Black women in support of the Black Lives Matter movement right now, it really was it honored me because as a half Black, half white woman, a lot of people don't see me as an African American or as a Black woman. And so I appreciate that. And I also want to say that one thing I've learned is that just like every other aspect of our personality, for me, my weight, my skin color, anything about me that people want to say makes you not good enough. Right now we're seeing African Americans across the world really standing up and saying that their skin is not a reason to judge them. And so thank you for being someone who wants to support that and wants to speak out against it. And I just want to say, I know that because my skin is lighter, that I have had a great deal of white privilege in my life. And whenever we have white privilege, when we have the ability to speak our minds, we have the ability to step out on a platform and say something isn't right, that we should. And so I'm grateful for this opportunity to say Black Lives Matter. I'm a woman who has raised two boys who are quarter Black, and I'm in a relationship with a woman who is African American, and we have to say something, we have to do something, because being Black shouldn't be a reason to be thought of as less than, and it's just that simple. It's not white versus Black, it's Black versus racist. So thank you for being a supporter. I have so much love for you and for all your followers. They have been so kind to me, and I appreciate you sharing our first time talking on the phone, which was a magical time. So thank you. And I hope that more women get to hear how important it is and more people get to hear how important it is to remember that we're all in this together. Everyone is important and everyone has value. And that means no one should be afraid to have an encounter with the police. No one should be afraid to be judged just based on one thing, their skin, their weight. Anything, really, for that matter. All right, girl, I'll talk to you later. And bye, everybody. I hope you guys are all doing well during this crazy time in this world. Bye.
Hi, friends, and welcome to the Plus Mommy Podcast. I'm your host, Jen McClellan, and here we explore plus-size pregnancy, motherhood, and body love. From bumps to bellies, we talk about it all. Now, let's get started.
I am trying to contain myself right now. I am so excited to have the powerhouse, Christina Wells, on the show with us today. She is America's Got Talent 2018 semi-finalist, and I am a huge fangirl. Welcome.
Thank you so much.
Just like, I'm going to send her an Instagram message and maybe she'll want to be on my show. And then you responded. And I should really calm down. My listeners are like, Jen,
no, that, you know what? I will tell you, anytime, like, you know, before I was on the show, I dreamt of being a singer and I dreamt of people like you wanting to interview me or wanting to hear about me and my story. And so whenever I got your message, I was, of course, like, yes, let's talk to other women like myself, moms, who we all have dreams, we all have wants and wishes, and we've all been held back by either our own preconceived notions about ourselves, or even worse, when other people put those notions onto us. And so this is something that is very near and dear to my heart, and I'm so excited to get to talk to you guys today.
Well, thank you. Why don't you share your story? Why don't we start with that? Because I'm assuming that everyone knows you. Because, I mean, everyone should, and they will. Everyone in my community definitely should know about you, but will know about you for sure after listening. But if you'd like to share some of your story, I think.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So I am 42 years old, and I am half black, half white, and I live in Houston, Texas. I grew up in Pasadena, which is a suburb of Houston, Texas. And growing up biracial, single mother household, my father died when I was 3 years old. And singing is just kind of a natural part of who I am. I never thought it was anything extraordinary or special. I just sang because I love to. I sang for my mama. There's a story of me when I was 3 years old coming out of my mom's bedroom with a jump rope, holding it like a microphone. Oh. And yeah, singing Donna Summer. And I think that's just where it all began. I love to sing. I often tell people that singing is my coping mechanism. A lot of people, if they've had a bad day, or, you know, maybe you want to have a glass of wine, or maybe people wind down with certain things. Well, for me, it's singing. If I sing, I feel better. And so growing up, like I said, I really didn't think that my singing was anything extraordinary. And it wasn't until I really got into high school that I ended up getting some opportunities to sing and people started reacting. And that's really where it all changed, where it was like, oh my gosh, you can sing. I'm like, well, really? Like, you think that it's good? And they're like, yeah.
I like to sing too. Oh, people are saying I can sing. That must have been really powerful.
Well, it is, especially whenever you're in high school. I've always been plus size. I've always been a big girl. I'm 5'9" and by the time I was 14, I weighed 200 pounds. Like, I've always been a big girl. And so in high school, you just want to fit in so badly. Mm-hmm. And so whenever I started to sing, suddenly I fit in. And that is that's a powerful, like you said, it's a powerful, powerful message, like to be accepted in so many social settings because I could sing. Well, I started to really drink the Kool-Aid and I was like, okay, I'm going to be a singer.
Did you do choir in school? Or?
Well, actually, it's funny. I was in the marching band and I played the French horn. And it wasn't until almost the end of my junior year that the choir director was like, why aren't you in choir? And I'm like, to me, choir means singing in Latin with a bunch of people who are going to look at me and say, be quiet. You know what I'm saying? Because that's not my style.
That was your idea. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. And so he was like, no, we do other things. And so he really, really encouraged me. Mr. Delaney was his name. And he got me into the high school choir. Well, they had like a show choir.
Oh, perfect.
Yes. So I got into there and I did have a really great time in show choir. It was really fun. And he really was like, he told me this. I'll never forget this. They had like a talent show thing and I didn't sign up for it. And he came to me. He's like, I don't see you on the list for the talent show. I was like, no, I wasn't going to do it. He's like, you have a gift and you have a talent. And every time you have an opportunity, you need to use it.
Wow.
Oh. And I was like, okay. And he's like, that what you've been given is a present. It's a gift from God. And whenever you have the opportunity, you need to use it.
Wow.
And so I signed up and I sang and I started singing in more things and I started like giving it more exposure. And whenever I left high school, I went to school for computer science, but in my heart, I was like, I'm going to figure out a way to figure out how to make the singing thing happen. So I figured I'd go to school and get like my degree, but I would start auditioning.
Yeah.
And I would start trying to put myself out there. You know, I felt confident. I was, you know, 18, 19 years old. And I went out and I did a couple of things, nothing big, small little things. And I got good responses, but definitely not the level that I got in high school because, you know, I'm not a skilled professional singer.
Yeah.
Well, then I went to the infamous audition, which was for a very large theme park here in Houston, which no longer exists. I'm grateful because they'll probably sue me. For the number of times I've said their name. But yeah, so they no longer exist. But it was a big theme park, and they were going to have a Motown review. And these shows at this theme park were a big deal. Thousands and thousands of people come through this theme park. And I had been to this when I was in high school and sat in the audience and watched people perform. And I was like, oh, I want to do this. So during spring break from college, came home and went to this audition. And this audition took up my whole spring break. I went the first day, 500 people, open call. Everyone had to sing in front of the whole group, like an all big auditorium full of people. Wow. It was crazy. But I am not afraid of stages. Like, I'm not afraid to perform in front of people. That's not really been my issue. So I went out there bold and brassy and I sang and I got this standing ovation and I was like, okay, yes, right?
Yeah. Oh, that buzz must have felt so amazing.
It was the high that I was like, okay, here's my confirmation. I could do this because it was I sang Aretha Franklin Respect. It was my genre of music. It was my style, my voice. I have a big old brassy, sassy voice. She can't be contained easily. So I was doing me and I was proud. Well, over the days of that audition, they cut hundreds of people a day and it got down into the 20s and 30 of people, like literally. And I was still there.
Yeah.
So I'm literally like, okay, this is it. Like,
this is happening.
Yes. And then I'm going to come home from school in the summer. And this was going to be my summer job that I'm going to get to sing for all these people. And then back in the 90s, because remember, this was 1995, your goal was to be discovered, right? That was what everybody said. You heard stories of, you know, Christina Aguilera singing at the mall or, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's what you wanted, was to be discovered. So get down to the last day of the audition and everyone in the group, we had all gone and eaten lunch and everyone was like, oh man, Christina's going to be in. They're trying to figure out who the cast was. Right. And there were definites. Like there was this one boy who could sing so high. It was beautiful. They're like, he's in, Christina's in. And you know, I started to believe it. Like, okay, yeah, I'm in. I'm definitely in. Well, then whenever they did the final cuts, they cut me. And when they cut me, I was thinking at first I was disappointed, but I was surprised.
Yeah.
So I went over and I asked, like, why? And what he said to me, literally, I don't know the exact words, but the basic information was that I was too big because they decided to combine all of the African-American voices, like all the females, into one woman. So it was going to be a Whitney Houston, Aretha Franklin, you know, Gladys Knight combo. And they wanted her to be able to wear the Whitney Houston bodyguard, that silver costume.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't wear it, obviously. Like, I can't wear that outfit. I was a big girl. And they're like, you're just too big to wear these costumes. And we've already made these costumes. So like this is already going to, like, that's already going to happen. So I think at the beginning of the week, maybe they were thinking Aretha Franklin could be her own character. But this is with my 42-year-old mind that I explain all this to you.
It's hard when we get older, we're like trying to justify it, but
exactly.
No, like they looked at you and made assumptions about, you know, your abilities based on your size without listening to your voice and your gift and saying, wow, we would be honored to, you know, the show would be outstanding if we were to have Christina be a part of it. No, they just looked at your size and thought, no, we don't want her.
And I think when we step out on a limb and we are vulnerable, especially when we're young, it doesn't take much to bat us down.
Right. To destroy us. Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, I'm not good enough. This is over.
Exactly. Because we already have enough demons ourselves and vampires in our head.
Mm-hmm.
So his voice lended itself really quickly. And I was like, see, I told all of you, I'm too fat.
Yeah.
you know, in order to be on, like, and truthfully, in the 90s, it was about being thin. Like, I bring up Christina Aguilera and Britney Spears because that was the female voice at the time.
Oh, I'm 39. I get that. We're not that big. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Wig. Everyone was skinny.
Yeah, and there was no body love, body positive movement. No, that didn't exist.
It didn't exist. But it's funny because now I feel like we all have realized that we find both men and women find a fuller figure woman more attractive. And the average size of a woman is a 16. But back then, for some reason, we were all drinking the Barbie Kool-Aid, you know? And so for me, once they said that, whatever words they said that day, all I heard was, "You're too fat to be a singer."
Mm-hmm.
And I accepted that as a truth. I am too heavy to perform and to be a singer. And I cried and cried and cried and cried that day. And then I quit trying. I quit trying for a very, very, very long time.
Would you sing at home still, or just like that was it? You weren't?
I think it dried up my love even for singing. Like it just took the wind out of my sails, because for me, singing prior to all of that, singing was just something I did. It made me happy. So you go home and you dream in your bathroom and you're singing, you know, I'm a real big Broadway. I love Broadway music, and Funny Girl and Dream Girls are my two favorite musicals. And so in Funny Girl, Barbara Streisand, you know, I'm the greatest stars. Obviously, you know, it lends itself to me and my story, because you know, you're just never, no one can know that if they only could give you the chance.
Yes.
They can just see what you can do. And so I would sing these songs in my bedroom and just, it's half like excitement, but also, you know, tears. And I think once that happened, it dried up that love for me. And I didn't sing at church. I didn't sing at events. I didn't sing at anything for a really long time. I think
my heart's broken.
Well, because I just felt like, what's the point? Because if you're going to, why go sing when people are going to be like, well, that's like, this is my favorite. And we've all heard this as plus size women. You're really pretty. Like, have you thought of losing weight?
Yeah. Or you have a really pretty face.
You have such a pretty face. Or even better than that is like, you know, I'm proud of you for having the courage to, like, it takes courage for me to just be.
Yeah. Where does your confidence come from?
My mirror.
Yeah.
Like, and so it's funny because the people constantly somehow, especially prior to this experience, they really sent a message of like, not good enough. And then what happens is it snowballs. I had my kids, which I think the best thing that ever happened to me today, I know, was having him tell me that I was too heavy, because that he set in motion so many things that I wouldn't change for the world. Mm-hmm. Like, I ended up meeting my kid's father. I had my two sons. My boys are the greatest gift I've ever been given, even more than my voice. Mm-hmm. Ethan and Ty they've raised me just as much as I've raised them. And so, I mean, of course, I sang for my babies, but I love my babies, and having my babies who are now grown men, it's been such an important piece of who I am as a person. And if I had really started pursuing singing young, I probably wouldn't have had my children, or I would have had them later. And so I know what was supposed to happen happens. And I think we all have learned that as we get older and have kids, what's supposed to happen happens. But sometimes it's hard for us to accept that when it's occurring.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So after that, like, let's see, that would have been, my boys were born in 98 and 2001. And then over the years, I slowly but surely, you know, the thing with me and singing is that it's not so much a choice sometimes, like it just kind of comes from inside of me. Mm-hmm. So whenever I was, I guess about in my late 20s, my kids were a little older, and I would love to go to karaoke. And so there was an opportunity I had. I was living in Boston at the time, and I went to like a karaoke competition, and I ended up winning it. And, you know, it would be like, exactly, it would be like, oh, yay, like a little something. And then I'd go home and I'd put it away, and then I wouldn't sing anymore after that. And so that was the thing with singing. It was that it just was like a little something in the corner, and people would say to me like, oh, you should be a singer. And I'm like, no, no, no.
Yeah. I've already been told I'm
too old. I'm too fat. And that's never going to happen for me. And so ended up really in the past 2 years, my kids, like I said, my oldest son is 20. My youngest son is 17. And when my oldest son graduated from high school, I was like, oh, so now they're going to leave. Like, I know we had talked about it, but now that it's happening, I'm not really sure that I was really prepared for that thought process.
Yeah.
And I am a registered nurse. I've been a nurse for 15 years. I specialize in cardiac medicine. And I was like, I don't really think I just want to go to work every day and come home and that's it, you know? Like, that's just not what I see for myself in my life.
Yeah, because your boys were filled that piece of your heart that gave you that.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
For them.
Well, and also your kids, they become like, you know, I mean, they become your everything, like your everything.
Yes.
I joke all the time. I'm like, you wake up, it's like, what about the boys? And, you know, you food. And I always joke, I'm like, they want to eat every day. This is it's just, they become your total focus. And so as they've gotten older, like my kids drive and they go to the grocery store, they do their own laundry, you know, they clean their rooms, they do the dishes, they cook, like they're adults.
I fantasize of all the things you're talking about with my 8-year-olds.
It's true. It's possible. It will happen
one day.
It will. Yeah. Like I come home and they're like, Mom, we put some of dinner away for you in the, you know, on the counter, and like they make dinner because, you know, they've got jobs, and they've both been lifeguards, and now my oldest son works full time at a retail store here in Houston, Houston area where we live, and he goes to college full time, and then my youngest son is a junior in high school, and they just have their own lives, and so you start to want to fill your own, like what your nest needs more stuff in it in order for you to stay busy. And so,
yeah, and you lose yourself too. Like, where's Christina? Like your lazy mother, incredible mother, but where's Christina?
Well, and I appreciate that, but I think that's what happens, right? We want to do so well for our boys or for our children. And I remember, you know, breastfeeding, or I remember, you know, diapering. I remember toileting and like toilet training and just how much work all of those things were, but you just put yourself into it so much. And I think we want to be good mothers and we end up that selflessness almost becomes like we lose ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so now my boys are very encouraging of me. They're always like, Mom, people should hear you. Like, you should share your talents with other people. And so over the years I would do like a play in the summer, like a musical. Like in the summer, I'd be like, okay, it's, you know, no one has football right now. There's no soccer going on. Like it'll be Mom's turn. And then we'd go and they'd go with me to rehearsal. And like I did a Christmas carol one year at a college that was nearby and just different little things. And I'd sing and it'd make me happy. And then what do? I go right back to nursing. Like straying away from the main path.
Yeah.
But about 2 years ago, I had this opportunity and I sang in kind of like a karaoke competition, but not truly. It was it was called Pride Superstar, and it was this competition here in Houston, and it was kind of like an American Idol style competition. So every week they would like eliminate somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't think I would go far. I did it for fun on a whim, and I ended up winning the whole competition.
That's awesome.
It was so awesome. Well, the funny part was is my prize for winning was I got time in a recording studio. And
wow.
So, yes, well, I recorded I Know Where I've Been, just like, you know, for me to have. Like, mm-hmm. I've done it now. I'm so happy I've recorded this song. And they were like, well, let's make a music video. You have enough from your prize money to record a music video. So I made this music video of me singing I Know Where I've Been. It's just me in the studio singing the song. Well, going forward, I did a musical and I did a few other things, you know, things here around the city, just trying to like put myself out there again for the first time, just again, you know. And what ended up happening was is America's Got Talent saw that video.
Wow.
And they sent me an email last year and asked me if I would come in and audition for the executive producers. And
was your initial reaction when you saw that email?
Disbelief.
Yeah.
Complete disbelief.
Yeah.
I can remember being like, yeah, right.
Who's calling me?
Because, I mean, of course, like every person who sings and anyone who does anything in a talent venue, I auditioned for American Idol. It's something I did.
Mm-hmm.
I auditioned for The Voice twice. And without even a hesitation, they told me no.
Yeah.
And even like, they didn't wait and say, well, no, they were just like, no, thank you for coming. No, thanks. And so nobody said I was too fat. But you feel it. You know what I mean? Cause then,
oh yeah, that's your first thing in your head goes, well,
then you get confirmation. I was literally in line at American Idol. This is a true story. I stayed at the Washington DC Convention Center. That's where the audition was held. It was a line for 3 days.
Whoa.
The line was for three. I was in line for 3 days.
Oh my goodness.
We slept on the ground. Like, they opened the convention center and let people sleep on the floor inside of there. So I go and I sing Chain of Fools by Aretha Franklin. They tell me absolutely no. Then the girl after me, beautiful, skinny, long blonde hair, beautiful girl. She could not carry a tune. She sang Take Me Out to the Ball Game. And she got through.
Oh gosh. That must have been like soul crushing.
Yeah. Well, it just is like, hey, in case there was a nail coming out of that coffin, let me tap, tap, tap it right back in, you know?
Yeah.
And so that was the thing, is that that message kept getting sent, like, you're just too heavy, you're just too heavy. So I quit auditioning for stuff years ago. I was like, I'm done with this. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to sing for my friends and family. Like, I haven't even like done the thing where you sing at all the weddings. Like, I've not done any of that stuff because it's like, no, I'm a nurse, I'm a mom, and I sing as a hobby. Well, so once they emailed me, I was like,
I was like,
we'll see where this goes. I'm sure you have to pay them money. Like, I didn't think it was AGT, you know, I thought it was somebody like, we think you could be a model.
Oh,
you know, like,
yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
And so, once, they emailed me back, it was real. It was really the show. It was like, I really like, yes. And so whenever I went and I auditioned and I was like, okay, I did it. I went and I had the sticker with my number on it, and I saved that in like my little, I have a little keepsake book that I have stuff in. And I was like, this is gonna be a really cool story to tell somebody one day, tell my family, tell my kids. I didn't tell anybody that I went and auditioned. No one.
And since they reached out to you, did you have to wait in the long line? So did you kind of get a pass to that?
You kind of get like, it's like a separate little thing where you can go, yeah, you don't have to do the whole big long line thing. But yeah, so all the little bits and pieces, I can't really say, but basically
I figured there'd be things that you can't talk
about. Yeah. But basically, I have been given the permission to say that I was invited. And so, but yeah, once I auditioned, I was like, you know what? That was cool. It was cool that I got to even go. It was cool that I got asked. That's a nice little thing for my ego. I'm just going to stay here and keep on trying to sing for people. And, you know, it's okay. No big deal. And then I ended up getting invited to go to the, to audition for the celebrity judges. And then,
wow.
Yes, which was so crazy. And then, you know, I won't lie, prepared for Simon to not really like me.
Mm-hmm. I could imagine.
Because he is not a big fan of heavy people. But I've always felt like, and I say this in all humility, but I always felt like if people could hear me sing, that they would know, like, not so much that I like have so much talent, but that I have something to share. And that I have, it comes from my heart. And I just felt like if I could just have the opportunity to be seen, then I could, maybe if I'm wrong, that's okay. I'll find out. You know what I mean? Like, goes back to me singing I'm the Greatest Star in My Bedroom when I'm a little girl. Like, in that song, she's like, just give me a chance. Like, if you could just give me a moment, you'll see what I know I have. And so that's what that moment was about for me. It was about finally getting that opportunity to say, like, I know I have something, if you'll just let me have a chance to share it with you. And it went really well.
I'm totally tearing up right now. Everything that you just said. And then it so brings me back to like watching you perform, and you command that stage. Like you said earlier that you don't get stage fright, and like that came true, but like came through when you were on stage, but also your story, like it just who you are and what you stand for and your passion and your love of music. You don't even have to hear the whole backstory to just see it in your face and to hear it in your voice, that deep passion and that drive and that stardom has always been locked in there. And now it was like set free in that moment. And oh, it was so beautiful. And hearing you say it all just brought it all back and made me all teary because it's so beautiful.
It was I appreciate that. You know, I think the biggest thing that I underestimated from this entire experience is the human beings, because I just thought I was supposed to sing. And what I found is that by standing up there, and see, this makes me emotional, by just standing on that stage, like all of the Christinas in the world, and not just for being heavy, but maybe for being interracial or not feeling like you fit in or not feeling like you're good enough or not feeling like you're worthy of opportunities. By standing on that stage, somehow I've given people confidence and permission and opened doors inside of their minds or hearts. And that's the greatest blessing for me doing the show, because every day I meet people like you who are affected by that moment. And so then maybe, you know, you feel, because as a mom, we never want to be selfish, right? We never want to just think about ourselves. We always want to think about others. And so in doing this, I felt maybe I was getting a little bit self-centered, trying to want to be a singer in my 40s. Like, girl, you ain't going to be a superstar. You need to calm it down. But in that moment, I realized, like, I'm not just here singing for myself. I'm singing for all of us who have felt not good enough. And so I feel grateful to be able to say that I can champion those of us who feel like outsiders in our own world.
Oh, I'm crying right now. It's so true. We're just going to sit here and cry for like this. But it's so true, because you did that and you're continuing to do that. And that's exactly everything that I felt when I saw you perform. And I even remember like going on to Facebook and like sharing stuff about you and being like, you guys have to hear this. And so many of my friends, regardless of size, were calling me like, this is so inspiring. And I think also, you know, being older too, you know, you feel like, oh, I'm too old to follow that dream that I had when I was younger and I can't do this, or, you know, or whatever that what if is, like, what if I would have done this? What if I would have, you know, and then to see someone just do it and put herself out there, and you just staying with that inner soul confidence of, this is where I'm supposed to be. And it's so powerful, because we all have that something, that one little I wish I could have, and to know that it's not too late in so many ways, and to see someone do something like you did is incredibly inspiring.
Thank you. And I will tell you, it's funny, because on the show, you know, I'm a talkative human being and I am a very outgoing personality. And so when I was on the show, I really was like, I'm only going to just be myself. Like, I'm too old to try to be somebody else or something else.
I love it.
It's just too much work. Like, I don't want to remember what I said. I don't want to even suck in at this point. Like, I just want to be myself.
Yes.
And so it was hilarious, because so many people, like when I would do the red carpet and interviews, like, people wanted to talk about my message of positivity, and people wanted to talk about what I was doing for those people out there who feel like I have, like, felt.
Yeah.
And since then, I'm actually doing motivational speaking.
Oh, I love that. Yes, yes, yes.
People have brought me in, and I call it motivational singing, because I speak, I share my story, and then I sing songs while I tell my story.
Oh my goodness. I love this, Christina. I mean, of course I obsess over you. So I follow you on Instagram, and I've seen you like at the kids, with the kids at the schools and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
I love that you're doing the motivation. Oh, I'm going to come. Where are you coming out to? Albuquerque? No one comes out here. Come to Albuquerque.
I won't come to Albuquerque. Well, and I mean, I think that's the thing, is that, like you said, with me and the kids, women, you know, the elderly, those are the people that have gravitated towards me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's because of what we've talked about. And so I do go into schools. I do go into like day programs for people with mental and physical disabilities. I do go into places where I can reach out and I can, I don't know. There's something about getting to touch someone that you've looked up to, or getting to touch someone you've seen on TV, and getting to have like that connection. And so if I'm able to go to a school and go see a bunch of kids who have watched me on television and they dream just like I dreamt, right? Mm-hmm. It's the same.
Yep.
We all feel that. And so to me, that's like the greatest opportunity and to get to sing with them. And it's just amazing. I love getting to do that. I'm actually talking to a number of school districts right now about trying to like maybe put together some programs where I go into more schools and have like more freedom to go and visit more schools and speak to the kids about learning to love yourself and learning to be kind to yourself and, you know, the way we treat each other and understanding like we all feel this way. People think that those people who are thinner, like right now we talk about being heavy, and there are women that you and I would look at and be like, my goodness, she looks perfect. Mm-hmm. And she feels like she doesn't look right or good enough.
Yeah.
And so I tell people all the time, even Beyonce got cheated on. Like no one is safe from feelings of hurt or feelings of being like an outsider or not good enough. And so we have to all work together to feel better about ourselves and to help each other to feel better. And so I really want to be the champion of confidence. Like that is my cause in this universe.
You need a t-shirt. I want to make your t-shirt like a champion of confidence.
I do, man. I'm serious.
You're so good at that.
I thought, well, and also this is the year of the fat woman. I say that all the time. We're done hiding. We're done wearing things that don't feel good. I'm done wearing black or muumuus or the concept that fat means you're older or fat means you've had a bunch of kids that you've let yourself go or that if you're not a skinny little something, you haven't tried. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. No, I no longer wear Spanx because I'm not going to do that anymore.
Really? You've completely let them go?
I have. There's some other shorts that I can wear under long dresses because I don't like that my thighs rub together, but yeah. I'll wear leggings for shorter dresses, but I don't wear Spanx anymore. And I do speaking engagements and stuff and I just don't do it. I'm not going to do it. Because
good for you.
Makes my back hurt. Do I still not want my thighs to rub together? Yes. And I'm glad that there are, other great things out there to help with that. But I'm not going to suck it in because, I've done what you were saying earlier. I've done speaking engagements where I've talked about body love for moms specifically. And afterwards, I find out that it's a lot of times the moms that I think look quote unquote perfect.
Yep.
Hug me the longest and
yes.
Thank me the longest. And so if I'm going to stand up on stage as a fat woman saying, I love myself and you can love yourself too, I feel like part of that is letting go of the things that society tells us we have to wear, which is like Spanx. And I think that's BS. So I've let them go. That's been my little thing.
But that's huge because I will tell you, I have a pair of Spanx and yesterday I did a singing event and I didn't wear them. And I was like, now I'm not hating on the brand because Spanx has done its job for me many times.
Yeah. If people like them, that's fine. But yeah.
Yes. But the concept of like you said, it makes my back hurt. And it's just so, and I am an apple. Like I don't have the thighs and the hips. All my weight is in my tummy. Mm-hmm. And so I'm very much like, I joke and say that I'm like a cake pop.
Oh, I love it. Yes. Sparkly cake pop.
Yeah, I am. I'm a sparkly cake pop. But yeah, but I'm just this ball with arms and legs. And so whenever I wear Spanx, like, it's just to try to hold the belly in so it doesn't move and, just preconceived ideas of how you should feel about yourself when you get dressed. And I didn't wear it yesterday and I was so comfortable and it was a nice time because of it. And so there's something to be said for that. I appreciate you saying that because you're right. When we're standing here and I will tell you, I mean, I'm a 300 plus, I wear a size 26, 28. I buy a 5X shirt. Like I have a merchandise line and it goes up to a 6X because I'm like, I'm so tired of going to get a shirt and it doesn't fit me or it looks like a tube top, and it's ridiculous.
Well, I love that because so many people have merch and it like ends at 2XL or 3XL. And I'm like,
what is that?
I need a 4 and this. It. Yeah.
Well, yeah. And also it doesn't like, I make a lot of my dresses and clothes and it doesn't cost that much more money to make a plus size outfit. Mm-mm. This whole thing where it's like, oh, that's $10 more. Like that doesn't make any sense to me because I make clothes and that extra yard. No.
No, it's not an extra $50 a yard. No,
it's not. It's not like, oh, the first 2 yards were 25, but the third yard was 50. Like it doesn't work like that. No. So.
I'm just popping in to say that I've been where you might be today. Plus size, pregnant, and discouraged by all the negative information online about what it is like to have a plus size pregnancy. Over the past 7 years, as a certified childbirth educator, I've supported thousands of plus size people during pregnancy. and I've poured all the information I've gained into a guide that will support you. Get the My Plus Size Pregnancy Guide today at plussizebirth.com. Be sure to enter coupon code PLUSMOMMY to get 20% off your guide. You can also get the audiobook version that I recorded just for you. Stop Googling and start feeling empowered today. Now, let's get back to the show.
Well, let's bring it back just a little bit to America's Got Talent. And you had that first audition, and then you went all the way to be a semi-finalist. What was that experience like?
Completely and utterly surreal.
Yeah.
I was 100% after I did, I talk about the auditions by the dresses. So yeah, the pink dress, the blue dress, the burgundy dress, and the rose gold.
And they sent you a couple dresses. I saw you.
Yes, they made those dresses for me.
Oh, they're gorgeous.
And they mailed them to me because I had a concert, and they sent them to me. And I won't even lie, I was, my heart was so happy. My heart was so happy. But yes, so after the first audition, the pink dress audition, I was like, okay, you know, if this was it, I would be happy. Like, I got to do what I knew I always wanted to do and what I thought I could do if given the chance.
Yeah.
And then the second audition, my blue dress, Never Enough, that was a harder audition for me because now the stakes are higher, mm-hmm. and also expectations are higher. I got to go in and sing a song I love to sing. I've been singing I Know Where I've Been for the past 2 years, and it's in my body and in my soul, mm-hmm. versus Never Enough was a song that they encouraged me to sing and they thought would be a great performance for me. It wasn't exactly I hadn't sang it. It wasn't a song I sang all the time. I sing from that movie, I sing This Is Me. It's actually a song mm-hmm. that I've released as a single. But the children's choir, Voices of Hope, had done it. And so they wouldn't let us do it again.
I could see you killing This Is Me. Yeah.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I will accept that compliment.
And then
whenever they like what you, if you've watched, they make it to where I'm so sure I'm going to be cut because I didn't do as well as they expected on Never Enough. They make it to where I'm so sure of it. I'm starting to cry because I'm like, it's okay. Because I went into the live shows of the judges' cuts. And I was like, I'm not going to go past this. And that's okay. It's a TV show. You did good. You got exposure. It's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Then you get up there and they start to talk about how you're not going to make it through potentially. And I'm like, no, I want to make it through.
Psyching yourself up and then the reality of no, I want to be here.
Exactly. Exactly. I was like, please don't take this away from me. I know I could do more. Then Simon told me that they were going to keep me. And I was just like, yeah, I just start crying. And then I will tell you what you don't see is, and this is something that I will always cherish, is I start to cry. And then, you know, on the show, it kind of cut away to the end where you see me with the judges, but all of them came up on stage and talked to me. And Simon, he was like, what are you, you know, singing Never Enough? He was like, he told me, he's like, it was a good performance. He's like, you have a great voice. Everything you sing is going to be great. He's like, it was a 7, it was an 8, but you can do a 10 every time. He's like, you're a soul singer. You need to sing soul music. He's like, so you need to think about that when you're going forward. And I was like, I will. And imagine he's standing right in front of me, holding my shoulders, telling me this. And I was just it's so surreal because how many times have all of us fantasized of the person that whoever it is, right? For me, it's Simon Cowell and singing on TV.
Yeah.
For someone else, maybe, you know, it's being a painter and talking to a great painting mentor or someone in the fashion industry or whatever it is that is your dream. And so to stand there and have him tell me this and to say that I'm a great singer is just so, it was just so amazing and it was so empowering for me. And
it was a private moment. It wasn't a
moment
or a TV moment. It was him generally saying, and him, someone who has produced some great, amazing names in the music industry, saying, you've got it and you can be that 10. I mean,
exactly.
That showed that amusement park, you know, guy.
Yeah, exactly.
And all he missed out on.
Yes, I know.
That was long ago.
People are like, they learned their lesson. I'm like, honey, I think that was the best thing that ever happened to me. I'm so glad that.
Right? Yeah.
And then, you know, Heidi Klum is hugging you and Mel B, the Spice Girls, is giving you hugs and kisses and telling you you're beautiful. And Howie Mandel is walking you down the stairs and helping you to go back so that you can talk to Tyra Banks about the fact that you made it through. That is a surreal moment in my
life. Yeah. How many times are you pinching yourself throughout the
And then the best part is that I made it to the live shows, and then I went and sang at the Dolby Theater where the Oscars are held.
Yeah.
And not just sang there, like I was there. I stayed in the attached hotel, and you know, it's everywhere I went in LA, people were like, oh my gosh, it's Christina Wells, and I had people yelling my name and taking my picture and signing autographs, and I'm known now. I'm recognized everywhere I go, all day, every day I'm recognized. And then I, when I made it to the quarterfinals, I was like, okay, I'm not going to make it past this. This was great. I don't have the same kind of pull that, you know, Michaela Phillips and, you know, Joseph O'Brien and Daniel Emmett. These people have, you know, thousands and thousands, hundreds of thousands of people following them. I didn't have that kind of social media following at the time. I didn't get a golden buzzer. Like, I wasn't one of those big ticket names. And so I was like, I'm just lucky to be here. I'm going to sing. I'm going to do my best. And hopefully people will like it enough to where I can keep on using this to sing in the future. And then I sang I Am Changing, and things went dramatically the other direction. People were like, it was so, I mean, even now when I think about that moment, that's my favorite moment, is singing I Am Changing. Yeah. Singing, that's my song, that's my musical. We're on that stage in that dress. I felt beautiful. I felt head to toe beautiful. I just felt so confident, and I felt like I belonged there. And I sang that song with every ounce of me. And I knew it the second, like when you see that performance and I turned my head,
you knew it. Ah, yes. Yes.
I was like, I did it.
You did it. And you were meant to be there.
Thank you.
Yeah, you were.
Thank you. Well, whenever I got voted through, I was like, millions of people voted for me. Mm-hmm. Like Christina Wells from Pasadena, Texas. Like, that's crazy. I still can't even fathom that. I meet strangers. And I mean, I have flown quite a few places to perform since the show ended. And I was in Florida, in Orlando, in an airport. And literally, like, people gathered around me in a circle and took pictures of me, and I was like, I can't even believe y'all know who I am. Like, in my own city, I expect that, you know what I'm saying? Because they followed it, and I was in the news. But I've been to multiple other cities, and man, everywhere I go, people are like, you're Christina Wells from America's Got Talent. And I'm like, yeah, I am. And so I've legally changed my name to that. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, I mean, it's crazy. And then I went on to be a semifinalist, and I will tell you, at first I really struggled. My natural woman performance wasn't exactly the way I wanted it to go.
Yeah. You could tell. You were like, oh, that wasn't quite what I wanted.
Yes. And so I was unhappy with that. And I won't lie, like, you know, 11 million people watched that performance on TV that night, and 100 million people have seen it since then based on, you know, TV and Hulu and Netflix and all those things. And I had a very hard time that night. That was the one night when I was like, this is hard. Like, this was hard for me. This is hard to go out there and make a mistake in front of so many people and have to like breathe through it and cope with it. And it's funny because, you know, your biggest fear is making, you know, like, you know, you have nightmares of what, you know, being naked in the street or making a mistake in front of a bunch of people or something. And so that was very much my biggest fear. And I woke up the next day, and guess what? I was still alive. I didn't die.
Yes.
I lived to the next day. And I think then I learned the most, because I don't think I realized that it was okay for me to make a mistake. Like, at that point, once I made it onto the show, I thought I was like, okay, you're here now, you have to be perfect. Mm-hmm. And once I made the mistake, I was like, and now it's going to be taken away from you again. Like, you finally got here and now it's going to be taken away. And it's actually the opposite. I think that by making a mistake and by owning that, I say it all the time, I sing with more passion than perfection. I'm not a professional singer. I've gotten voice lessons this year, but this is the only year of my whole life that I've had voice lessons.
Wow.
And so what I'm doing out there is really just a lot of us is authentic, raw Christina. And so, of course, I'm going to struggle sometimes. Like, you know, people like Glennis and some of the other people who have like really enormous careers, like next to them, I don't have that. I don't have that exposure. And I haven't performed at that level ever in my life.
But honestly, that's what made me like you even more.
Oh.
Really, because you were real. Like, yeah. So many people that we see on TV, they're not real. Or you just wonder, like, what they're like in person. But, like, you could tell how genuine you are. Like, the person who I'm talking to right now, like, you and I hanging out talking, is, like, the person who I saw on TV. And that is rare, Christina. And that is a gift. So, yeah, we learn from those experiences that we have that don't quite go the way that we were. But I think in the end, it makes us so much stronger and better at our craft.
I agree. And also, I think it empowered me even more, like, to tell people, yeah, you can be like, look, here's the takeaway. I can be fat and be a singer. I can be 43 years old and be a singer. I can be imperfect and be a singer.
Mm-hmm. Yes. But
I can be all those things. I can go out on stage. I can wear a shiny dress. I can be a 5X, and I can feel confident. I can feel beautiful head to toe, not just my face. Mm-hmm. And I can stumble, make mistakes, learn from them, and keep going.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's my takeaway. And so a lot of people have asked me, they're like, well, what did you learn? Or what's been your favorite thing? And I'm like, my favorite thing is realizing that, because now, girl, I worry. Of course, I get nervous. I'm a human being. Of course, I want things to go well in my career. But sometimes I stop and I'm like, honey, you have messed up in front of 11 million people. You will be okay if you have a problem at this event.
Yes. Now you're unstoppable, because, you know, there's nothing holding your back from.
Yeah. Like, I'm not going to die, which is what we think, right? We get, yes, so nervous. Like, oh my gosh, it's so hard. No, girl, I ain't going to die. I'll be all right.
What was it like, though, when you did get cut? Was it shattering, or were you okay?
No. I mean,
obviously, it was just
being cut from the show was not a problem. For me, and I think of it as in two pieces. September 11th was the day that I did Natural Woman. September 12th was the day I was cut. September 11th was my devastation. Mm-hmm. Being cut from the show, I was constantly ready to be cut from the show. Not because I wanted to be, because I was just expecting it.
Yeah.
Like, only one person wins. 75,000 people had
yeah.
One person wins. Like, it just makes sense. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I constantly was like, oh, okay, this is the end. No big deal. I'm excited to be here. I'm excited to have made the friends. For me, not doing as well as I wanted to do, that was where I was upset. So Tuesday, I don't even pretend. I left that stage, and this is one thing that a lot of people don't know. I left that stage, and I went into the bathroom backstage, and I didn't come out for like 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. I cried so hard that they went and got one of my best friend from the audience and brought her backstage to help me calm down. Mm-hmm. Like, I just was so upset. And I was just like over and over saying this, like, I'm just a normal woman.
Yes, you are. Yeah.
Like, I'm just a normal woman. Like, I'm grateful that I can sing, but like, I'm a normal person. I've been so stressed out. You know, when you're there at the show, you're not working. Yes. Yes, so much pressure. I wasn't working because, I mean, I'm a nurse. I've worked. I'm a single mom. For a month, I was in Los Angeles.
Wow.
And, I mean, imagine being off work unplanned for 30 days. And then on top of that, you know, for it to not go well, you're just so devastated by it. So I had my whole big breakdown, because we all have to, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I wiped my tears, had my makeup fixed, and went and finished the show.
Wow.
And then by the time it came to the cut, you know, the next day, I was like, I'm good.
Yeah.
If I stay or if I go, I'm okay. I'm going to live. I lived through yesterday. I can live through anything.
Yes. And now you are walking away with a whole new life experience too, and the confidence to be like, all right, what does life have in store for me now?
Yes, exactly. And on top of that, I actually quit my job as a nurse. It's 18 days. I have been not a nurse working. I will always be a nurse in my heart. But 18 days now, I have been only working as a singer.
Oh my gosh, Christina, huge congratulations.
Thank you.
You have worked your literally life for this moment.
Yes.
Here you are. Oh, congratulations. Well, why don't we tell, I know your puppy is excited for your attention and you've got so much going on, but why don't you tell everyone where they can find you and connect with you and what's in store next for you?
Well, I have a website, ChristinaWells.com, and everything is available at my website. I have videos, I have music, I have my events page. You can find me on Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, Twitter, all of it at Sing Christina, one word, SingChristina. And if you want to follow and see what I'm doing on a regular basis, I have something called the Diva Squad, which is what I call my fans.
I'm in the Diva Squad. Join the Diva Squad.
Yes, join the Diva Squad. I call the reason I call it the Diva Squad is because people always say that I'm a diva, but they say it in a positive way, like, oh, you're, you know, that I'm delivering. And so I try to redefine the word diva, not to mean as someone who is elevated or acts like they're above, but someone who cares and is positive and kind and empowering goes around them. And so I've created my Diva Squad, and if you go online to my website, you can log in and you can give me your email address, and then I'll send you newsletters and videos and hugs and kisses from me. And you also can find me on Spotify, iTunes, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, and Google Play. I have released singles. I released an EP last summer this past summer when I was on the show. And I just released a Christmas album, which when this airs will already be out. So you're welcome to go and listen to all of my music online.
Yay. And then is your merch too that you've talked about that goes
I have shirts. Oh, I have a shirt you would love, Jen, and it says, "You can't let weight restrict your fate. Look at me. I'm on TV."
Oh my gosh. Yes. I'm like, I need that shirt.
So I have that shirt. So I do. I have a whole line of merch. Actually, we're coming out with coffee cups soon. And I have t-shirts and all different types of t-shirts. And I send out autographed headshots when people order things from me. And so, yeah, I like to give all the love and all that. You can find all of that at ChristinaWells.com.
ChristinaWells.com. Okay, great. Yay. Well, you have made me laugh. You have made me cry. You have touched my heart even deeper than you did when I first brought you into my life from the TV, and knowing and confirming that that woman that I saw through my television is the woman who I'm chatting with today means that you far exceed I'm getting emotional. Like, I think we like see people and they impact our lives and that we don't really know, oh, maybe that was just a moment, but like you are the moment and you are going to continue to go on and touch the lives of so many people and help us each to find that thing within us and believe that on whatever level it is that we can make it happen too. So thank you so much, Christina.
Oh, thank you, Jen. You have been such a joy to talk to. Such a joy.
Well, thank you. We'll stay in touch. And everyone, go to ChristinaWells.com. Follow her everywhere. I follow you everywhere. My favorite is Instagram because then I feel like we're actually hanging out.
We are. We're actually hanging out. I posted that selfie sitting right here waiting to get on loading. So.
Well, thank you for your time and for all that you do. And I hope that we have another time to chat in the future and have you on the show as well.
Thank you. I would love to do that.
All right. Well, you take good care. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye. You guys have a great day. Bye.